God, I thank you for this day. I thank you of how you work and surprises that you bring into our lives that are unexpected. I thank you for warmth after kind of a cold winter. And I just thank you for the opportunity to give your word to those of us here right now that are here together. And so I just pray that we do receive it with goodness and with understanding, that we can apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I was about 20 years old, and at this time, I had just stopped running college cross country and track. I'd been injured, and so was a bit depressed because all my life running was it, and that led me down a lot of choices in my life that probably weren't the best. And I was involved with a ministry and was on leadership with a ministry at Southwest Missouri State University in Springfield, Missouri. And I remember my friend and I, my best friend really, he and I had kind of gone down this not so great road together. We're still good friends. It's probably good that we're not together. But that's a whole nother story. But we came to the leadership, or we rather came to the campus pastor, really confessing what we had done and saying, look, we feel really bad about this, but we want you to know and understand what's going on. And he seemed to care, but in actuality, at the end of the conversation, he said, well, I'm going to have to ask you guys to step down from leadership. We didn't really ever sign any contracts, first of all. But second of all, when I mean leadership, I mean like planning how many Ultimate Frisbee games you're going to play and like maybe occasionally leading a prayer. And, you know, leadership was just more of like we're a core group of people, right? So this wasn't I wasn't some great and wondrous thing. I left that, though, being angry at him, angry at the system, ticked off at the fact that, like, I'm pouring my heart out to you and you tell me I'm not good enough suddenly. I felt betrayed and fearful. Number one, this is what took us so long to confess this, that I wouldn't be accepted by others. Have you guys ever felt that in your life? I mean, have you ever been excommunicated from things? It sucks, doesn't it? I mean, I know that's a strong word, and I don't mean that vulgarly, but it's really bad. And so when you've been excommunicated, there's all these emotions that I just mentioned that go into it. And the scripture today is the Beatitudes, and I'd like to, maybe we'll read that again in just a second. I had it on my notes to read it right now, but we just read it, and I want to go into, what are your expectations of the Beatitudes? Like, how have you always read the Beatitudes for yourself, Chow? When I read the Beatitudes, I read, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, and blessed are the humble, and blessed are all the people that basically don't have anything in life. That's how I've always read it. I've always seen it as something that I can't ever attain because I'm too selfish to want a stable life for my family. That's how it's been preached to me a lot. But yet I think this is today our false narrative. Because, see, we need to understand the context in which Jesus was speaking to a crowd of people. Who is Jesus speaking to in this crowd? Pharisees, Gentiles, / everyone else. And everyone else had an expectation. You know, their understanding of the kingdom of God, this was the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, so this is kind of paramount to understand, like, everything with it, right? That we don't get this part wrong. And so Jesus is speaking to a group of people who have been a part of this Old Testament narrative that the Israelites are king, that the Jews are all there is that God cares about. Right? Are you following me? You tracking? So the Pharisees are like puffing out their chests and they're just, you know, like waiting, and they're thinking this announcement of the kingdom of God is gonna, everybody's on hinge waiting for the timing of the kingdom of God. Meanwhile, there's some undergirding, if you will, expectations. And I want to read to you really five that I learned about of the expectations of who was in. The first person that was in was you had to be Jewish, like I just spoke about, right? You had to be Jewish because that was just it. That was all the Old Testament. I mean, everything everybody knew was that God loved Jewish people. The second was, well, half of you out here, whether you were Jewish or not, you wouldn't be in because you're a woman. So because you're a woman, some rabbis even taught that you had a separate soul, that your soul was different than a man's soul. The third was that, I know some of you are going to already hate this, but you had to be a rule follower. You had to be somebody that followed the rules, that you looked prim and proper on the outside. No prostitutes, no tax collectors, no regular people. Not that I'm associating prostitutes and tax collectors with regular people, but you get the idea. You had to be pretty much perfect in your character. Fourth was that you had to be healthy. You had to have good health. No sickness. Sorry, those of you that got allergies, you're out right now. Because God, that is a way that God is cursing you. That's the way that it was thought. And then last was that certainly nobody that is poor is going to be welcome in the kingdom of God. Because if you're poor, then God has abandoned you. All of your blessings that you have received, you're not welcome. So Jewish, male, religiously upright, healthy and wealthy people were welcome to the kingdom of God. And that is what the expectation was. And nobody even saw coming what Jesus said. So you can imagine that when Jesus spoke of blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who are meek, blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, that it kind of took people by surprise. Now, getting back to our false narrative is this. When I say blessed are the poor in spirit, I mean, blessed are those that are depressed, overwhelmed, had a bad day, turned into a bad week, turned into a bad month, turned into a bad year, turned into a bad life kind of people. Blessed are those that can't seem to catch a break. Blessed are those who mourn, meaning anybody that's lost somebody close to them, whether it's a job even, or maybe it's some kind of natural disaster that has happened. That could be you. Blessed are the meek. This was always a hard one as a boy growing up, especially in the South, because you had to defend yourself, right? Like, no, I got my pocket knife, buddy. You better back off. But Jesus said, no, blessed are those that are meek. But Jesus is speaking, no, I love you that can't defend yourself. I love you that have gone through suffering and pain. I love you, period. And the last one is this, because this is kind of confusing. I mean, there's multiple ones, but this is the last one that I want to talk about, is blessed are those who hunger for righteousness. Because, like, it's a good thing to want to be right, right? But Jesus is speaking to those that have been wronged, Or maybe they've done something wrong and they're like in the court system. And they're not able to defend themselves, but they want to be made right, but they know that they've done something wrong and they know they're doomed for jail, which means if they're doomed for jail, then they're probably doomed for something much worse. Suddenly Jesus is saying, you are welcome in the kingdom of God. And wait for it. He not only says that each one of you and I and all these Gentiles and all these poor, sad people are welcome, but he says you are preferred. Now, I want you to pause for a second. You're in the shoes of the Gentiles, like you can feel the love of Jesus, but I want you to flip for a second. I want you to imagine yourself at, like, let's call it the Oscars, okay? And you, is the Oscars for, that's for acting, right? Okay. Let's say, I always get the Oscars and the Emmys, I don't know, I watch it a lot. But let's imagine for a second that, like, you have played the dude on Titanic. Help me out, Leonardo DiCaprio, right? You are Leonardo DiCaprio, and if you're a woman, you're the other person. What is it? Yeah, that one. And you're like, I'm gonna win this. I deserve it. I've worked hard. I am the greatest that there is. And then, over the intercom and the speaker for best actor or actress, comes Winnie the Pooh. And you're like, hold on, what? What? Wait a second. Excuse me? Like, Winnie the Pooh is a cartoon, and there's just some guy that's like, how is that? No. Pharisees. Imagine that that's probably what they felt like. They were in such awe and shock that because they're it, because how many millions and maybe $1 billion has been spent on this movie, that they're a shoo-in. But out comes a little corner, a little Pooh Bear coming along. How do you feel at this moment? So what do we do with the Beatitudes? There's two things that I want you to hear this morning that you've already heard, but I want to clarify a little bit. So if you're taking mental notes, now is your time. If you've been taking it, I appreciate it. It makes me feel good. The first is this, is that if you feel like that you have to act a certain way or be a certain way or live a certain way to be loved and embraced by this church, think again. You get to be who you are, how God made you. The other with that is that if you think you have to live a certain way, act a certain way, all the same things that I just said, to be accepted and loved by God, think again. God says, you are welcome here. I love you, and in fact, I prefer you. I welcome you with open arms. Now, with this, I think the second kind of flows naturally is this. Rather, it's a question to each of you that are a part of this church body. Do we see the Beatitudes in this way? How are we in terms of inclusivity? How are we in terms of accepting people that are just different than us? Because see, it's a fashionable thing this day to be inclusive, and it comes with a lot of fun words. But really what I want it to teach us today is one, how do we do ministry? How do the Beatitudes keep us in check in how we do ministry? And then that leads into, who do we do ministry with? Is it a select people? Or is it not select? Where do we do ministry? Where do we go to find those that don't understand that God loves them? Where do we go to seek out those to tell them that Jesus prefers you? Where do we go? How does that shape the way that we move and live as a body of believers? You know, I spoke about the ministry in the beginning that I felt excluded from, and it did. It was terrible. I mean, I really hated a lot of people from it, and still hold like resentment inside, something that I need to get rid of. But it's hard, so pray for me. Obviously, if I'm bringing it up, how many 20-some years later? But there's one thing that changed in that, and it's a guy that I still support today. I remember that after a while, my friend and I still had a lot of friends in the ministry, and so we're like, well, we want to see them, you know, just because we like to do different things doesn't mean that we don't like our friends. And so, you know, they had called us and they said, well, you don't have to come to the service, but you can come to Steak and Shake afterwards. And Steak and Shake is this great diner. Ugh, I love it, it's so good. I don't like Whataburger, sorry, Texas. But I love Steak and Shake. They've got like the best, it's a Royale with like bacon and, oh, I'm getting hungry right now. But it's just a good place to go. And I remember eating with all these people, and as I stood up, there was this guy, Chad Lawrence, Puff Chatty, as we called him. That was back when it was big then. But anyway, right? He looked at me. He looked at my eyes, and he knew that I'd been hurting. He knew that I was lonely. He knew that I was frustrated. And all he said to me was this: hey, John, I love you. Whenever you're ready to start walking again, my hand is here. And literally, he stuck out his hand. To this day, I will never forget any of those words. And to this day, that's probably, I don't want to short God and God's grace. That's why I'm standing right here. Because it was a shift in how I viewed God and how I viewed the church. How many people do we need to reach out to and say, I am here. I love you with all the mess that you are. I love you with all the imperfections. I love you with all that I hate that you are. I love you. I am here to walk with you. That is what the church is for. It's not to judge. It's not to point fingers. It's not to think that you're better than. It's not to have this I am perfect relationship with Jesus. It is to love those that are not lovable, period. Our mission here is to bring the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth together with the power of the Holy Spirit to guide and direct and heal and transform. So, our soul training exercise today, I hope you enjoyed the freebie week of play, because that's what it was last week. You were supposed to go out and play. It was good. It was a good week. I liked it. But this week, it's asking a question. It's realizing that the kingdom of God is an inclusive kingdom. It's an all-accepting kingdom. And while the world tells us that inclusivity is it, it's the thing, those people that are inclusive are really pretty exclusive, if you really sat and talked with them all. So the challenge is this: how inclusive are you really? Okay, that's the first question. How inclusive are you really? Rather, how brave are you? how far are you willing to push your limits this week? And that's what I want to ask you to do. I want to see liberals and conservatives sharing a cup of coffee together and not talking politics, but asking, how are you doing? How, like, if it's somebody in faith, how can I pray for you? Or just listen. Listen to their side. Listen to their story. Listen to who they are. If you're a wealthy person, I want you to go on the street and find somebody that you don't know. I want you to buy them a meal, and I want you to sit and talk with them. Now, the point of this is that you will feel uncomfortable. It's not to feel comfortable. It's not to stay within your zone. I'm not asking you to open your home up and let some random stranger stay. I mean, if that's what God lays on your heart, then I guess go for it. But I want it to hurt a little bit. Like, I want you to feel uncomfortable. And remember this, that those people that you don't like or those people that you feel uncomfortable about, it doesn't mean that you have to accept and affirm anything that they are or what they do. It just means you accept them. And you see, like, you see with the eyes of Jesus. Do you follow me? You tracking? Like, you see beyond the mess. And you look into them and you ask them how they are. That is hospitality. That is what Jesus did. He was a hospitable person. And that is what we are called to be as followers of Christ. Amen.